Welcome back, everyone. In the previous session, we looked at how do we manage pests in the agricultural setup. We looked at various methods, both chemical, using pesticides, biopesticides, and integrated pest management system. In this section, we will be looking at pest management by use of pesticides. Now, pesticide is basically any substance or a mixture of various substances that are intended to be used on an insect or a specific plant or an animal which is deemed to be a pest. They can either act as a growth regulator, a mating disruptor, an exterilant, a defoliant, or a desiccant. Now, many household products that we use are pesticides. For example, we use the sprays which are used for killing cockroaches and mosquitoes. We use rat poisons, we use shampoos which are specifically supposed to kill fleas or other lice in the hair. All of that are in some form a pesticide. Now, pesticides are basically agents which can use to be killed several different types of pests, and we've seen quite a few pests in the previous section. So basically, just doing a recap, there are various types of pests that can come into picture in an agricultural scenario. They are insects, fungus, weeds, bacteria and viruses, microscopic organisms of that site, mites, which are very small microscopic or semi-microscopic insects, birds, and rodents like rats and moles. Now, in this sense, there are pesticides which are also classified into various sections based on which type of pest they are used against. So for insects, we have insecticides, for weeds, we have herbicides, for microbes like bacteria and viruses, we have microbicides or bactericides. For rodents like rats and moles, we have rodenticides, and for mites, we have miticides. The use of chemicals in pest control or pest management usually gives us an immediate response in comparison with other pest management responses or other pest management methodologies that are being used in agriculture. Now, pesticides are basically toxic chemicals, and they have to be handled with utmost care. Whether it is during production, whether it is distribution or final application on the field, at every stage, specific care needs to be taken, or else it will adversely affect the ecosystem in which it is present and specifically the human beings who are handling it at each of these stages. Now, in the chemical method of pest management using pesticides, when the combination of alternatives does not otherwise give us a good example or give us a good response, there are chemical methods that can be used, or it is advocated to use chemical methods so that we get better responses. Sometimes when we use a biopest pesticide in the field, it may not give us the requisite amount of impact that we are willing to create. Sometimes during integrated pest management system, the result may not necessarily be satisfactory for us. In such cases, it is obviously advised, as the last resort is the chemical method of pest management. Here, the pesticides that can be used are of various types. They can be inorganic compounds, they can be horticultural oils like neem oil or any other form of flower or fruit oil. It can be biotechnology based, it can be insect growth regulators, which basically holds the insect's growth at specific stages. It can be mating regulators, where the insect will not be able to procreate and their eggs will be made sterile. So every type of chemical that is being used in this context can have a different effect on the pesticide. Now, the chemical methods that are used are not only used for eradication of pests. Generally, the common belief is that all pesticides are only meant to kill. That is not always true. Certain chemicals or certain chemical pesticides that are being used can also act as repellents or frightening agents. There can be specific chemicals that give out a specific odor that repels or frightens certain pests from the field. After discovery of the insecticidal properties of, for example, DDT, we have come across that DDT is now being used for controlling insects at a very, very large scale. Another common example that we can use here is that if you are living in an urban location, you're building at times during the rainy season, gathers moss on the pathways where we walk. A common pesticide that is used to kill this moss and ensure that nobody slips and falls is the bleaching powder. The bleaching powder, the moment it touches water, it starts giving out a form of acid, a hydrochloric acid, which kills the moss. Now, obviously, this is not necessarily a very healthy way of killing the moss. It also gives out chlorine fumes, which is not good for the human health. But if the moss problem is not tackled by a regular pesticide or a specific pest management system, bleaching powder is the last option. Similarly, DDT is another one of the most used chemical pesticide in the country today. Now, in chemical method, there are hundreds of insecticides that are used for various crops. There are three main ways of administering the pesticide on the crop. There can be dusting, that is powder, which can be sprinkled on the plant, or it can be used on the soil so that it kills the weeds, or rather it kills the pests that are present in the soil. We can also spray, and we can also incorporate granules. Granules are specifically used on the soil. These granules can be directly put on the soil, or it can be diluted in water or any other type of solvent and administered into the soil. So these are the three main ways in which chemical pesticides are actually implemented on field. Now, in the chemical method, diverse chemicals are used for killing rodents. And they are kind of toxic not only to the rodents but also to the other animals in the vicinity. So if we are using a rodenticide, it definitely will kill the rodent, but we also need to be aware that rodenticide can also kill any other similar animal in that vicinity, including a human being. Now, in human beings, it may not necessarily kill, but it will definitely create some harmful effects. So there are certain chemicals, there are certain various types of chemicals that are falling into this category. Some of them are organic compounds. The effect of organic compound is that it inhibits the coagulation of blood, which basically results in the death of the animal. There are some other type of pesticide which causes convolutions in the animals and it creates discomfort or rather death in the rodents. At times, there are inorganic compounds like zinc phosphate or thallium phosphate that are used on the field. One more type of chemical that is used in this segment is the organic fumigants. So they are organic compounds, but they are used in the form of fumes. One of them that we regularly see in the city are the fumigants that are used for controlling mosquito population in certain places. We have always seen the municipal corporation team coming out with fumigant or fume expelling machines and fumigating our buildings or our nearby societies or even the gutters where there are open drains where there are possibility of mosquito breeding. Similar fumigants can also be used in the farm. Now, as I said before, all of this is dangerous for the human being, and hence handling these chemicals requires special attention. There are various ways in which farmers can harm themselves if they do not know how to use this particular chemical. And hence, it is important for the manufacturers, the government, and the various semi-government authorities which are looking into the agricultural industry to train the farmers and the other handlers of such chemicals so that they do not harm themselves or people around them by irresponsible use of such chemicals. Now, chemicals are also used for frightening birds or mammals. Now, they can be lethal, they can be non-lethal. So sometimes chemicals can also lead to some form of physical reaction or physiological reaction in the bird or the animal. It can also give out certain fumes, or it can give out some irritation on the bird or animal's body, which will repel the animal from the field. Now, chemical repellents are basically also applied to barks. For example, if there are dormant trees, conifer seedlings or orchard trees. If we apply chemical repellents on the bark, it has actually shown effect that it repels animals like rabbits, deers, and even porcupines from the specific orchard or field. Now, in chemical method, there are various compounds. In the inorganic compound section, we have compounds made out of arsenic, fluorine, and zinc. Arsenic definitely acts as a poison if it is not administered in a specific zone. Now, arsenic can also turn out to be a medicine if it is used in a specific concentration. Anything above that, arsenic becomes a poison for human beings. Similarly for animals. In the organic compounds, we have hydrocarbon oils, we have compounds that come out of an animal origin. That is, if we take out certain hormones or certain chemicals or oils that are emanated by animals, that can also be used here. Certain compounds that are coming from the plant, one of the common example being neem oil. At times, even eucalyptus oil is used for certain repelling factors. Volatile oils can also be obtained from the plants. Volatile oils are basically, you sprinkle and it gives out certain fumes and it acts as repellents. Now, what are the advantages here? Let us look at some advantages. Obviously, all of us know that chemicals are dangerous and chemicals can create problems, but then there are specific advantages because of which specifically chemical pest control is used in this country even today. First of all, it is effective if there is a sudden outbreak. Generally, pesticides are, or rather, generally pest infestations happen at a gradual rate if it is a normal pest infestation, but at times there is a sudden outbreak. Recently, during the pandemic, during the lockdown, we got to know about the locust attack which suddenly happened in the northern part of the country. Now, these are sudden outbreaks that need immediate control. In this case, what we need to do is the chemical pest control methodology. Now, another problem with, or rather another plus point of the chemical fertilizer is the effectivity. It is a sure shot method to control your pest. There will be no deviation. There will be no deviation in terms of its impact on the pest, in terms of its effect on the pest. Large areas can be covered using a chemical pesticide in a very short period. If we are looking at a biological method of pest control, we are inducing a virus or a fungus or a bacteria into the system so that it kills or it inhibits the population of the pest. It takes some time because the virus or the bacteria or the biological agent that we have introduced into the field has to propagate, get to a particular population size, and then create an impact on it. Chemical fertilizers do not have that problem. The moment you administer it, you'll start seeing the results. High cost benefit ratio that comes to the farmers. Chemical fertilizers, unlike the other types of fertilizers, chemical pesticides, unlike the other types of pesticides, do not give you, do not come to you with a huge cost, and the benefit comes to you pretty late. The cost benefit ratio in chemical pesticides are pretty high. Selective application is also possible in certain chemical pesticides. It is convenient to use, obviously, with a lot of training. Manpower required is pretty less. It generally, if it is sprayed, there is one or two people running across the field with the sprayer. And it also at times improves the quality of produce, obviously, because your pests are taken care of, your plants are safe from pests, and the crop does not fail. There are certain limitations, there are quite a few limitations of chemical pest control. First of all is, obviously, you need the equipment. You cannot always apply, or it is not advisable to apply chemical pest control mechanisms by hand. So you need equipments. Sometimes certain chemical pesticides are so potent that they can actually seep into the skin through a rubber glove. So even using a glove may not necessarily protect the handler from the chemical's harmful effect. Special expertise is required in this section. If someone is not trained how to use a chemical pesticide, if someone does not know how to go about using it, they may end up harming themselves and quite a few people around them. Now, non-target beneficial insects are also affected in this place. In the soil, it is often said in agriculture that earthworms play a very important part. Now, if we are in sweet potato farming and we have an infestation of sweet potato weevil, a chemical pesticide will not necessarily target only the sweet potato weevil. It will target everything in that soil, including the earthworm, which is actually purifying the soil and giving more nutrients to it. Now, the health hazard during the production is also very high. Not only during production, during transportation, during usage, during storage, at every given point in time, if there is any carelessness from anyone who is handling these chemicals, there will be harmful effects. Environmental pollution, obviously, is one of the greatest reasons why people are now slowly and steadily migrating towards organic methods or integrated pest management system from a chemical pest control method. And obviously, it continuous use leads to development of resistance in pest. The basic reason why IPM was formed in the first place was because of this kind of resistance that the pests have started showing towards chemical pest control methodologies. Like I said, organic farming or usage of organic materials to control certain pest infestations in the farming mechanism has been going around for quite some time now. There has been an increasing demand in organic food products. We have been looking towards organic food products, not only just things that we get from agriculture in the form of vegetables, cereals, fruits. People are now looking at organic milk, organic egg, organic meat. Now, in this scenario, what is happening is that the chemical pesticides or chemical fertilizers that are being used in agriculture are not conventionally used in this particular type of farm. And hence, people have now started exploring various organic materials that can be used for pest control for organic farming in specifically. Now, in terms of chemicals that are used for insect control, there are, like I said, various types or various categories of chemicals that can be used. There is an inorganic chemical that can be used, which are basically lime sulfurs, calcium arsenate, Paris green, and so on. The synthetic organics, so there are organic chemicals, but they are not necessarily organic origin chemicals. They are synthetic organics that are manufactured in a factory. So there can be organochlorides, DDT being one of the biggest used organic chloride in the country. Then we have endosulfan, which I had discussed in the previous lecture. This is currently on the verge of getting banned in this country, and in certain areas it has already been banned because excess usage of endosulfan is leading to genetic anomalies in children in the areas where they are used. Then we have organophosphorus compounds. Again, there are compounds like malathion, dimethoate, quinophils, and things like that. But the problem with organophosphorus compounds is that the ill effect, if it is not used with proper control mechanisms, if it is not used with a lot of safety gear, organophosphorus compounds, the moment they enter the human body, directly affects the central nervous system. There is a lot of work that requires in handling organophosphorus compounds to certain extent that in certain countries, defense research is looking at developing organophosphorus compounds as a chemical warfare weapon. Now, there are certain other synthetic organics that we can use, that we can look at in the chemical pest control or chemical insect control segment, is the carbamates, which has chemicals like carbofuran, propoxyr, and things like that. Synthetic pyrethroids is another form of insect control mechanism that can be used, where they have quite a few chemicals like deltamethrin, cypermethrin, lambda cyhalothrin, and things like that. Now, the plant and animal origin pesticides, or other botanical pesticides, are basically derived from certain plants. For example, here we can see the pyrethrum flower extract, nicotine, which is one of the prime enzyme that comes out of tobacco. Nicotine is also a pesticide, and in certain areas, nicotine from tobacco can be used for repelling a few pests. It is not basically a pesticide, but it is a pest repellent at best. Neem extract is one of the most commonly used pesticide in this country from a biological standpoint. Garlic again acts as a pest repellent or at times a pest controlant. Chili and tobacco extract, again, we are looking at tobacco because of the nicotine content in it. And there is another item used, which is known as the fish oil soap. Apart from all of this, there are certain other biotechnology-based products that can be used. There are certain hormones that are extracted from animals and they are used on the fields as insect repellents or insecticides. Now, let us look at the Insecticide Act of 1968. What is it? What was it meant to do? And what are they doing right now? Now, it was passed by the Parliament on September 2, 1968. So it's a pretty old act. We have been understanding the usage of pesticide and the control that we require in the usage of pesticide since that time. Now, its basic activity is to regulate import, manufacture, sale, transport, distribution, and use of insecticides. So it is not only controlling the business and the flow of pesticides within the country, but it is also giving the users on the field methodologies and warnings on the usage of insecticides. The basic idea of creating this entire legislature or creating this entire act was that they wanted to ensure that human beings and animals are not put at risk. This was one of the basic viewpoints that was considered when this act was being put in place. Now, what are the various salient features of this particular act? One is the compulsory registration of the product at the central level. Again, any insecticide that has to be manufactured or imported in the country has to be registered with the government. Licenses are to be procured if you want to get into dealing of pesticides. Unless and until you are qualified and licensed by the government, you cannot do dealing in pesticides and similar compounds. Now, interdepartmental or ministerial organizational coordination is achieved by putting in place a higher level advisory board. This advisory board is called the Central Insecticides Board. This has a 28-member team, and they basically take care of all sorts of coordination that are required right from the government level to the grassroots level. Registration committee is another team which takes care of all the necessary registration formalities that needs to happen for every company and every product in the country. Now, establishment of enforcement machinery like insecticide analyst is also a part of this particular act. So we are not only looking at the manufacturing or distribution and things like that, we are also looking at how are people using it? What are the components of an insecticide? What are the ill effects of the insecticide? Everything is analyzed in this aspect. There is also establishment of central laboratory that comes under this section. We will be looking at a few laboratory presence in this country in the future slides. And obviously the power to prohibit the import, manufacture and sale of pesticides and also confiscate the stocks, punish offenders is also coming under this part. So this completely looks towards regulating the pesticide market in India, ensuring that minimum damage is caused to the human and animal population, the flora and fauna of our ecosystem. It also ensures there are regular checks and gatekeepers placed at various intervals, which ensures that a harmful product or a bad product does not come out into the market and create trouble for the agro industry in this country. Education to farmers in terms of using pesticides is an important aspect. I have told you in the beginning of the session how it is important for a farmer to understand how does he use a pesticide on the field. If there is any form of misuse or overuse of pesticide, it will result in problems not only for the field and the crop, but it will result in problem for the farmer and several other people in that vicinity. At times we have seen that pesticide resistant varieties have started cropping up. There has been resurgence of pests in spite of using pesticides in the field. Sudden resurgence happens. This happens because the pests have also started evolving and mutating themselves as a resistant strain. The challenge of meeting the ever-increasing demand of food is what creates the misuse or overuse of pesticides. In all these things, educating the farmer is very important. Now, the problem with educating these farmers is that not everyone is well-learned or even literate. So for them, the basic idea is I have pests on my field and I need to take care of them. They do not care whether they do not actually know the impact of the pesticide on the field. In such cases, it is important that we understand how do we educate farmers and what is the process that we undertake to ensure that the farmer realizes and understands the impact of misuse or overuse of pesticides and switches to better methodologies like IPM to ensure better pest management. This is basically the cone of learning. This was created by Edgar Dale in 1969. Before we look into the cone, there is a very interesting proverb here that is given by Confucius, who is a Chinese philosopher, or who was an ancient Chinese philosopher, and he very well said that I see and I forget, I hear and I remember, I do and I understand. So if something is seen, we will forget after some time. If something is said to us in a very effective manner, we may remember it. But the moment someone demonstrates a particular thing, we understand. That is how the human brain functions. So when it comes to educating the farmers, we have to always understand that we have to operate in this zone. Either we look, put them into a participating discussion or talk, or we give them a dramatic presentation which shows how a particular action is taken and how it impacts the environment around them. Now, unless and until we do not rely on these two methodologies, we will not succeed in educating the farmers to a greater extent. So the best way to educate the Indian farmer today is either putting them in, you know, in a space where they are discussing with fellow farmers or progressive farmers and clarifying their doubts. So thereby, when they are discussing, their ideas automatically flow and they become attentive to what the other person has to say. Obviously, the best method, which has a 90% retention, is giving them a proper demonstration of the ill effects of misuse and overuse of pesticides and providing them with the actual optimum level of pesticide usage. Thank you so much.